This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Chris Graham. We've got Rod Mullins with me. We're going to talk some NASCAR, some NHRA, and also some Indy racing here in this particular podcast. And Rod, let's start first with the All-Star Race this past weekend in Charlotte. A lot of excitement. If you like fights at the end of races, there was that excitement. There was also some good racing. Take us into the All-Star Race. What happened? Some of the fallout, especially from Ryan Newman and Clint Bowyer.
Well, I think more than anything, this past week's All-Star Race down in Charlotte was one for the underdog more than anything else. Kyle Larson got himself into, from the open, into the big race, and he ended up winning the whole thing. And that was just incredible after, you know, he ended up winning. And then you had Bubba Wallace for Richard Petty, who came in and won one of the segments out of that. And we had just heard this past week of how Darrell Walter Bubba has gone and told people, and John came right out and told people, he's suffering from depression, and he's dealing with depression, and one of the things he's been having to deal with for a long time is his best good enough. And this race on Saturday night proved that he gave everything that he had, and the words that he used as he was quoted, I think, with a lot of media this past weekend was some of the teams, and they shared it back and forth, was Bubba is driving in a pissed off mood. That's the way it was defined, because when he drives like that, he becomes more aggressive. He just goes out there and he chugs along to try to win, find that open spot. And he did that to get in that second segment, or win that segment there of getting into the All-Star race. But Kyle Larson really just surprised a lot of people, and I think this is the boost that Chip Ganassi Racing, and especially Kyle Larson, needed going into the Coca-Cola 600 this upcoming weekend, because they've had a horrible season up until this part. And then going in, winning the All-Star race, that was a big plus for Kyle Larson. But then on the other hand, Clint Bowyer, here he goes. He had a chance to maybe contend for the win in the All-Star race. He said that Ryan Newman cost him a chance at it. Ryan Newman says, you know, he needs to grow up a little bit on the driving, on Clint Bowyer and so forth. You know, I've looked at this thing over and over again, and this was just racing. This was all that it was supposed to be. But Clint Bowyer's desperate. He's wanting to win some races, and he wanted to win that All-Star race, but the same way that Ryan Newman wanted to do it as well. I think the way that Clint Bowyer handled it, though, not a very good way to handle it, especially beating up somebody still with their helmet on. He should have at least waited until he got out of the car. Then he could have threw the punches then, but it really didn't matter in the end. It's Kyle Larson, you know, really comes out the hero of the day, and you know, Bubba Wallace immediately stands up and is now sort of a spokesperson in NASCAR, so to speak, for the depression issue and so many things that have fallen in front of him in this past season or two that he's been with Petty Enterprises or Richard Petty Motorsports.
Yeah, the first thing I thought when I saw that fight after the race, and, you know, whether you're punching a guy's head and the head has a helmet on it or not, was, man, you know, you risk, even if you punch a guy's head who doesn't have a helmet on, you know, boxers who wear gloves break their hands sometimes punching a guy in the head with the gloves on, you know, with those big gloves on. So, a driver risking breaking a hand, I mean, you can do some stuff, there's not a lot, but it jumped out at me that, you know, you can't put your ability to drive at risk like that. Am I overthinking that? You know, would a broken hand be that much of a big deal for a driver?
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal for a race car driver, especially when they've got to be at such demanding tracks like a Bristol or even a Charlotte in this case. It's demanding. I mean, you got to have both hands on the wheel. I know that some people will think back to the old days and think back to Dave Marcus, Dick Trickle, and some of those guys that the way that Dick Trickle used to handle a car going around the high banks at Daytona and also in Talladega, and they seemed to do it like it was just without any, you know, effort whatsoever. But in this day and age, with the kind of cars and the setup that they have, I'm going to put it plain and simple. It's kind of stupid. If Clint Bowyer had broke a hand, you know, he would have probably had to just suck it up and drive it with it if it wasn't really bad. But, I mean, if he had done some damage to his hand, trying to punch Ryan Newman with that helmet on, he could have been out for several races. I mean, they could have taped it up and did what they had to do with it, but you've got to still maintain control with those two hands on that wheel and try to drive something challenging racetrack. Yeah, it could have been a big deal, and it was, I have to say it again, it was a stupid move on Fred Boyer's part, although he wants to live by the Kansas adage. You know, if you stick your finger in somebody's face, you're going to get it probably the punch, face punched off or something like that. But Boyer just got a little too emotional out of this whole thing, although it made for good television, seeing it on TV, and especially how everything transpired. But I think Fred Boyer needs to do a better job of showing his emotion and not going and taking it out on the other driver. I think a finger point session might be good enough and some of the obscenities we heard, but definitely not putting somebody in the hell.
Yeah, I was going to say finger pointing, some obscenities, you know, the old wrestling pull apart where you just kind of push the guy and then all your both crews kind of get around, they pull each other off. Something like that. Get your point across, but yeah, don't risk your livelihood because, you know, that's just silly. All right, we'll talk Coca-Cola 600 as we finish up and Indy 500 as well as we finish up. Let's go to the NHRA Virginia Nationals in Richmond coming up. Take us through what we can expect there, Rod.
Well, we had that this past weekend. We moved in. They got this one over with, and this is the second year that they've been in to the Richmond area with Virginia Nationals. They've done a great job there at drag strip there near Richmond, and we got an invite this year to be able to go, but with the schedule and everything for me, I wasn't able to take them up on being able to go up and get passes to be able to see this. But Brian Capps is definitely showing why he's dominant right now in the his division of the funny car division, and he's doing really well. And you had some others that really stood out in this past weekend's race. So Butler was another one that really stood out. But Brian Capps is having a good year, and he was doing so with a new car design, also with a new paint job on there for Napa and Napa Brake. He's really doing well right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing the NHRA when they come to Bristol here in about a month. They'll be there on the Father's Day weekend, and it's always a big ado when they come into Bristol in the Thunder Valley. So looking to see what Caps and some of the other drivers have in store. John Force didn't have much of a good weekend this past weekend with his car, the Big Antifree Pro Buddy Car there, and then also Matt Hagan, who's Virginia native out of Christiansburg. He had braked too well this past weekend. He'll be looking for better things coming up at Bristol in June. But they had a great turnout, a great crowd. It looked like it was a really good event, and they have done wonders at the Virginia Race Park there outside Richmond.
Well, dang, I missed it. I thought it was coming up. So I know your Bristol race is coming up, and I so that's good. Well, great that they had great attendance, and we'll look forward to the coverage of the Bristol one coming up in a few weeks. All right, so we got two big ones coming up this weekend. This is the weekend that a lot of folks have marked on their calendar because of the fact that we have the Indy 500, Coca-Cola 600 coming up. You start where you want to, Rod, and get us ready for, you know, one of the bigger racing weekends of the year.
Well, the bigger racing weekends, of course, Memorial Day weekend, the Indianapolis 500, the Coca-Cola 600, and excuse me if I slip and say the Coca-Cola World 600 because it's still part of my vocabulary to say that in there, to say Coca-Cola World 600 because that's what it was. These are the two biggest racing spectacles that you have, and you have them on the same day. And, you know, they're separated by at least, you know, several hundred miles apart. You've had drivers before, like Kurt Busch, and you've had some drivers also. Tony Stewart, I think at one time even did the double at one time, and that was to start things out in Indianapolis, and then as soon as Indianapolis is finished, get on a plane and fly in a jet down to Charlotte as fast as you can go, get ready for the driver introduction, and then get ready to race 600 miles. For some people, 1,100 miles in a weekend is just way too much for some people. But for some of these race car drivers, it's perfect. That's what they love to do. They love this sort of thing. And they've had several drivers. Kurt Busch said at one time he'd like to have another chance at maybe driving the 1,100 miles for the 500 and the 600. And then you've also had some other drivers that would like to do it, but they've not had a chance to be able to do it yet, and that's Jimmy Johnson. And he said time is pretty much gone. He thinks that the time for him to be able to race is pretty much over for the 1,100 miles of racing. But you've got some other drivers that are still maybe wanting to do it at one point or another. We'll have to wait and see. But this week's upcoming Indianapolis 500 is going to be big because of the fact that we don't know who's going to win this one. We had some really different qualifying this past weekend. You had some Formula One drivers that were supposed to be, you know, very highly heralded. They were going to be in the contention for at least the pole position. And then you had one McLaren Racing Team driver that's really good. He didn't even make the race. And that's one thing that surprised me without, you know, in a big shock that he didn't make it. And then you had somebody like Pippa Mann, who makes the weekend race, and she barely gets in, but she is celebrating because she's just so happy that she was able to make it into that big race there at Indianapolis. And then as we switch gears, we're going to be looking at probably Penske trying to make a clean sweep this weekend. I think Penske will be looking to put willpower into Victory Lane there in Indianapolis. And then he'll also be looking to do the same thing when he goes to when they go to Charlotte. And Brad Keselowski, you got Ryan Blaney in there, you got Joey Logano. Those cars could be very strong this weekend. And the captain would like nothing more than to be able to dominate on Memorial Day weekend, either at Indianapolis and or Charlotte or both, because it would be a huge feather in his cap to be able to bring away two wins on two different races on the same day.
You know, when you talk about Indy 500, Ron, it makes me think back to when I was growing up. When you were growing up, a lot of our listeners were young. The day and age of the Indy 500, it was so big that it was actually recorded and then run at a different time. I think, was it run on Monday on TV? I mean, will it ever – you know, I know Indy Racing's had its own issues, you know, the split a few years ago, everything else. Is it ever possible that Indy Racing can get back anywhere close to that level again? Because it used to be – that might have been the biggest race, even bigger than Daytona, even though it was a different series, obviously. That may have been the biggest individual race of the year back in its day, back in the 70s and 80s. But can it ever get anywhere close to that again?
I think that it's right now on the verge of it. I don't think it's quite there yet, but I think it's on the verge of once again getting some of that popularity, because I think what I saw this year with some of the qualifying and some of the drivers that were participating, you had Formula One drivers coming from overseas and coming from Europe, and they dabbled in it back and forth. But this past year, you had a whole lot more that at least tried to make a run of it. And Indy is still trying to appeal, I think, to a what I would consider a worldwide audience more than anything. It's just that the days of, you know, what we look back on with Al Unser, you had Rick Mears in there, some of the drivers then, Bobby Rahal, those days are just not there. And then you had Danica Patrick, you kind of brought the mystique at least to the racing club when she came there. It kind of brought on some attention, a little bit more attention than IndyCar was used to. And then, you know, she goes to NASCAR after that. We all know what happened with NASCAR. So I think it's on the verge of maybe getting back to that point. You know, but you've got it now to where both sports, IndyCar and NASCAR, have kind of worked things out. They always were the first race. They were always the first race of the day. And then Charlotte would start sometime around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Charlotte got the idea, hey, instead of trying to compete with them, let's let them go ahead and start at their regular time in Indianapolis, and then we'll finish it up and take things starting at 3:30, 4 o'clock, or 5 in the afternoon, and we'll take it on home at night. So we give everybody a full day of racing just to see how things can go. So I think we're on the verge of it, and, you know, it'll be a big time when they do this and they're able to get IndyCar back to the forefront, but we're just going to have to be patient, give it a little bit more time and see what this new NTT deal is with the series. Of course, Verizon has stepped away from IndyCar series. And, Chris, I think we're going to also have to wait and see what NBC does with their coverage, because for 60 years or more, ABC had the rights to the Indianapolis 500, and last year was their last race, and NBC has vowed to make it a spectacle in autosport racing. And so far by some of the pre-race stuff they've had on this past week and the qualifying, I think they're setting their foot forward at least in a good direction. They've got some of the other drivers in there, like they've got Danica Patrick in the broadcast super they did this past weekend for qualifying. Now let's see what they have of some of the old drivers or some of the drivers that are still around there that maybe aren't competing right now, and have them in the booth or down on their road and see how things go. And we'll see how NBC can maybe elevate it just a little bit more to a higher standing than what it has been.
Well, a fun race day coming up this weekend for the fans. As you mentioned, Rod, that the two races being on the Indy 500, Coca-Cola 600. So we're ready. And thank you for getting us there, Rod. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.